We come today in the presence of God to worship and honor Him, and we're so thankful that all of you have come this morning. I hope and trust that each of us will have a greater appreciation for God and for things that are spiritual and things that are holy, and that we'll treasure the fact that you and I are children of God. We are children of God because God has blessed us and has adopted us as His children. And I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 14, the Apostle Paul said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Him." If I were to ask you this morning the question, what does Marilyn Monroe, John Lennon, Adolf Hitler, Willie Nelson, Priscilla Presley, Oprah Winfrey, Faith Hill all have in common? Well, they were adopted, every one of them. You know, adoption is a very beautiful thing, and many of you are aware of the fact that we just have a new little adoptee in our family. Amanda and Billy have chosen to adopt Susan, and we're so thankful and grateful for that. But adoption is not new to our family, however. I had four sisters. Three of them had adopted children. And a little girl from Greece, one from Germany, and two from the Dallas area. And a Buckner Orphan Home. And so we're thankful for all of those who have come into our family. And we feel blessed by the addition of Susan to our family as well. But you know, the Apostle Paul says that you and I have been adopted into the family of God. Now, what does that really mean? Well, it means that we are children of God, however, but it means a number of things. Three things that I want you to remember this morning about this lesson. One of them is that God wants to adopt you. Now, when Paul writes to the Roman church, he is writing to remind them that they have already been adopted into the family of God. But God wants all children. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants all of us to enter into His spiritual family. And so God wants to adopt you. He seeks guardianship over your life. God does not just forgive us, but He adopts us. He wants us in His family. When I think about the fact that God adopted me and that He adopted you, I realize that it was something that God had planned from the very beginning of time. But not only did God plan it, it was something that He promised He would do. And it is something that He calls a permanent relationship. Now let me explain that. A lot of people say, well, if that's a permanent relationship, does that mean that, once saved, always saved, that I'm always going to be in fellowship with God? No, doesn't mean that, but it does mean that we have a relationship with God. It does mean that if I ever become a child of God, I will always be a child of God. Always. That doesn't mean I'm going to heaven just simply because I'm a child of God, because there can be erring children of God as well as faithful children of God. But God planned my adoption. He promised it, and it is permanent. We are not in His family today because we wandered into His house, but we are in His family today because God brought us into His family. We go from a horrible orphan past to a loving, wonderful future. And when I think about what God has done, it is marvelous because God has not only adopted me, but He has given me His name. I have the right this morning to call myself a Christian, a child of God, because He adopted me. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, the apostle also said, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, if you were to go back and you would really digest what Paul is saying, he is saying that it was predestined of God that he would adopt all of those who would come to know him as Lord, and that he would adopt anyone regardless of their race, regardless of how much money they have, regardless of how popular they are. God wants all men into his spiritual family. And I thank God this morning that he has placed me there. I hope you are thankful that he has placed you there as well. He signed his name next to yours, and he changed your name to his. We are simply Christians. You are not here. You're not a Christian by chance, but you are a Christian this morning by choice. Your choice and God's choice. And when I think about the fact that he has changed my name, that's really not too unusual with God, is it? Have you ever thought about in the Old Testament how God went about changing the names of people when he brought them into fellowship with him? There was a man by the name of Abram in the Old Testament. And when God called him from the Ur of the Chaldees and told him to get away from his kindred and to a land that he would show them, Abraham, the Bible says, followed God as God had led him. And the Bible says that God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And he also changed the name of Abraham's wife from Sarai to Sarah. But he also changed the name of Jacob in the Old Testament. And now he calls him Israel. That is called of God. I think about even in the New Testament when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus and God called out to him through Christ. And the Bible tells us that he was to go into the city and there it would be told of him what he must do to become a part of God's family. Well, the Bible says that he obeyed the gospel and was baptized into Christ, becoming God's child by adoption. And the word says that God changed his name from Saul to Paul. God is in the name-changing business today. He is. All of these have been adopted into the family of God, just as we are. You never heard of an unplanned adoption. Adoption is always planned. When Billy and Amanda first made the decision to adopt Susan, it was a planned thing. They had determined this is what they wanted to do. And my sisters who adopted their children went through a great ordeal to bring about the finalization of those adoptions. And it was a very wonderful thing. And we loved those adoptees just like we loved our other nieces and nephews. And we'll love Susan just like we do all of our other grandchildren because she is a part of the family. But not only does God want to adopt us, God wants us to accept him, and he wants to accept us in his fellowship. You see, too many people today believe that being a Christian is something you do in name only. That is, you adorn the name Christian and you're a Christian. That's not true. So just because you call yourself a Christian or a part of the family or because you have been adopted into the family does not mean that you have fellowship with God. God can do something that no father on this earth, earthly father, can do for us. And that is that our fellowship with God does not have to be unbroken. It does not have to be unending, and it does not have to be out of fellowship. God wants to be with us in fellowship every day, every moment. And in the book of Romans 8 and verse 14, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can you say that you are being led by God? In Jeremiah 10, the Bible says that the way of man is not in himself to direct his steps, but that we need the leadership of God. We need the fellowship of God. What does it really mean to be in fellowship with God? It's not just something that you come to do on Sunday morning when we gather here and we sing and we pray and we observe the Lord's Supper. A lot of people, to them, that is the extent of their fellowship with God. But our fellowship should go far beyond the bounds of this building, folks. It should be a daily thing that we have fellowship with God. We read His Word and God shares that Word with us. We have the opportunity to call upon Him as our Father in heaven every day. And so we talk to our Father. We honor Him and we try to fulfill His Word. For the Bible in the book of Psalms 37 and 23 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who orders your steps? Who tells you where to go? Do you let God give you direction in your life every day, or do you just chart your own course? The first gift that God gives us as His child, think about this, is His Spirit and His fellowship. For the Bible says that when we are baptized into Christ in the book of Acts chapter 2, that we receive the Holy Spirit of God, and thereby having fellowship with God. And we walk in the steps of faith, Romans 4 and verse 12. For in Proverbs 16:9 says that a man's heart deviseth his own way, but the Lord is the one who directs his steps. And I thank God today for giving me direction. You know, sometimes people get up in the morning and they start charting what they're going to do all day long. I know it's probably typical of most folks, and probably more typical on a Monday morning. You get up and you get ready to head out to work, and you start thinking about all the things that you've got to do that day and the things that you plan in your life. Have you ever just called them on God? God, put it in my heart what I need to do today. I do that every morning, and I say, God, lead me where I need to be. Help me, chart my course, and let me follow your path. Let me do your will, not mine. And you know what? When I do that, I know that I am in fellowship with God. I'm not walking somewhere where I shouldn't walk. I'm not doing something that I should not do. But if I call upon God to put it in my heart to lead me where I need to be, I know that He will do that. God wants us to find His liberty as well as following His leadership. There's a song that we sing in our hymnal, Duane, is called Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. That's not just a song. It should be the very, very important dimension of our life. Where He leads me, I will follow. President Roosevelt, a number of years ago, said that an American should be free to do four things. That is, we should be free to speak. Our Constitution provides that freedom, does it not? And not only should we be free to speak, but we ought to be free to worship. Now, there are a lot of people in the world today that want to take away that right. There are a lot of people that say, we do not have the right to worship according to the Bible. And then we should have freedom from want. And we should have freedom from fear. I'm thankful that in Christ we have all of those. He wants us to feel His love. I think it's interesting in this text where Paul talks about our adoption. He says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know what the word Abba actually means? It literally means, in today's vernacular, it would mean daddy. It would mean like you were calling upon your earthly dad. That closeness that exists. Abba, Father. My father. My dad. Jesus called God His Father over 200 times. Think about it. Abba. No one can really comprehend the love of God or the fact that God is our Father, perhaps, until they have children of their own. It always amazes me sometimes when people who do not have children can always tell everybody else how they ought to rear their own kids, you know. It's always amazed me how people are such great authorities in doing that. But a lot of people do that. But you know what? I think a lot of times that we cannot fully comprehend the love of God until we have children of our own. and how God looks at us sometimes when we go astray, as a father would look at his own earthly child, and he sees that child depart from his teaching and not following what he ought to be doing. Or in the book of Romans chapter 8, the Bible again teaches us the importance of following God. For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. And that brings me to the last point. Not only does God want to adopt us, and not only does he want us to follow him and be in fellowship with him, but God wants to adopt us for his fruitfulness. You know, a lot of people think that God has just put you here to accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. That is not why God placed you on this earth. We were accepted into God's fellowship, and we became a part of his family for God's sake, not for our own. Not yours, but for God's. We not only have the privileges of being a child of God, but we have responsibilities. Sometimes people feel that they have no responsibility as a Christian. And I fear too many people have been taught that, and I fear too many people believe that, again, that if they have ever adorned the name of Christ, it amazes me sometimes how people that call themselves Christians who never come and find themselves in the house of worship to worship God. Quite frequently, I'm called upon to speak at memorial services for people who claim to be members of this church who have never darkened the doors of the building or having been in fellowship with God for years. I wonder sometimes, do people facetiously think that because they ever became a member of the church, or because they ever came into the family of God, that is going to get them into heaven? Jesus never taught that. He did teach faithfulness to God. For in Revelation 2 and verse 10, he taught, be thou faithful unto God, and I and unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. I'm thankful this morning that we as God's people understand our role as a Christian. And we understand that being a Christian is much more than just adorning the name. It means that I'm to serve God every day. God put you here to serve him and to honor him with your life. And to love him more than you love life itself. When a young man came to Jesus one time, he asked him the question, Lord, what is the first commandment? And the most important commandment. And Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second one is likened to it, that you love your neighbor even as yourself. Have you ever thought about that? God says that we are to love him with all of our heart. Do you know that you cannot love your neighbor until you love God with all of your heart? I'm going to tell you, there's some neighbors that we may not love. There may be some people in this world that you may not be drawn to, but we're drawn to them because we first love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But we're to love God and to love his son above all else. There was an elderly man one time who had a disabled son. And one day the elderly father died and the disabled son was being left and cared for by the servants. And while his father was still living, he had an artist paint a picture of the son. And being proud of that picture, he hung it on the wall and remained there all the years of his life and the son's life. But now the disabled son was dying and family members could not wait. You know how they are sometimes, and how eager they are to get the wealth of the father or the uncle. But the son died. And the attorney was setting everything in order and selling the possessions because of the faithfulness of the servants. He gave them the opportunity to choose one thing from the house as a gift for taking care of the elderly man's disabled son. Some quickly chose furniture and jewelry. And yet the son's nurse only asked for the painting of the son. that hung proudly on the wall. And as the men were taking it down from the wall, they found an envelope taped to the back with the words, "My last will and testament." And it gave the father's name. And the attorney stopped all that was going on in the house and began to read the words that were written by a loving father. Tears began to stream down his face as he began to read the will. Family members and servants were growing impatient and asked, "Well, what does it say?" And the attorney replied to them simply, "It says, whoever loves my son enough to desire his portrait shall be heir to all that is in the Father's house." You know, isn't God saying that same thing to you and saying that same thing to me, that whoever loves Jesus enough is heir to all that heaven has? God wants you to have all that he has. He came and he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for you and for me. And if we go to heaven, it will be because we became his child. Not just in name, but in fellowship and in service to him. That's what Christianity is really all about. Even though many today have the idea that being a Christian is just perhaps being a member of some church somewhere. But it's much, much more than that. And I hope that all of us understand it this morning. I hope that if you're not a Christian and you're here this morning and you're not a believer in Christ and you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, that this morning you'll understand that God says to you, as he says to all people all over this world, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." That God wants to save us. He wants to adopt us into his family. He wants you there. He wants me there. And if you believe that this morning, and you desire to be a part of God's family, it's just as simple as obeying God. It really is. And so this morning, I'm asking you to take that step, to come this morning to acknowledge Christ as Savior and Lord, and with a penitent heart and a penitent attitude, allow your body to be buried with Christ in baptism. And thereby, having been baptized, being lifted out of that water and raised to a new life that only Christ can give. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new." Maybe you've strayed from God as a child. Maybe you're like one of those people we talked about this morning. Your name's on the roll. You know, you claim to be a Christian, but you're not living the Christian life. Well, to think that we're going to go to heaven simply because I wear the name doesn't mean it to be true. And if we've sinned and if we've erred and we've walked away from God, then the thing to do is come back to the Lord. God will restore you. He will forgive you and he will bless you if we obey him. Now, Dwayne has selected a song of encouragement that we're going to sing this morning. And it begins with one step, only a step. And that's what we ask you to take this morning while we stand and while we sing.
Hear the sweet voice.